Greetings, my brothers and sisters, and welcome to the daily devotion. So we just want to continue our thought on a uniform without salvation, speaking about how religious people create an artificial uniform to create an impression, to make a semblance of biblical or spiritual unity. But when you come close and look at it, it is really just a carnal idea. People wear the same kind of outfit, a religious uniform. It really shows some kind of togetherness, but void of truth, void of the power of God that is life transforming. And like we read in the scriptures, the true uniform of believers is that Holy Spirit. Because if you are baptized into the Holy Spirit, wherever you could be, and I am baptized into the same Spirit, even when we do not know each other, the truth of the word that gets revealed into our lives, we will manifest the same life. And so by that, we will be able to recognize each other. Thinking about Peter one day when he felt an urge, you know, to go atop his house and start praying. Then he fell into a vision. And in this vision, the Lord was speaking to him, you know, to minister to a certain group of people who were Gentiles. And as soon as he came out of that vision, there were people knocking at the gate of his house. And these men said they were sent, you know, by Cornelius. Cornelius didn't know Peter. Peter did not know Cornelius. But this man Cornelius had also been shown in a vision that he needed to send for a man by the name of Simon Peter. And so Peter followed them and he started ministering to those people. And it was not customary, it was not lawful for him even to enter their home. And he made that clear upon entering that house that him being a Jew was not supposed to do that, but he was led by the Spirit. And as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit came upon those people. And they started speaking in tongues, the Lord signifying to Peter that these people had received the same substance of the Spirit which had filled Peter and the other disciples on the day of Pentecost. And so Peter could see past his traditions and customs when he saw that power, that Holy Spirit, come upon these people and making them behave the same way which had happened to them on the day of Pentecost. He could see that him and these people were now uniform. They had been baptized by the same one, Holy Spirit. Now, when this Holy Spirit comes into our lives, certain things manifest in us. And that becomes our uniform. There is a power that is life transforming, a power that enables us to do the works of God. So he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. So here is Peter. A moment ago, he looked at these people as Gentiles, unclean people. He could not associate with them. But by revelation, by observing what the power was doing, that veil was lifted, and he could see, these are my brothers and sisters. Without going to any theological school for a professor to explain to him the transition which had happened, in a moment he grasped the truth. He beheld the truth that there is no longer any wall of separation between us. The Holy Spirit has consecrated and sanctified them. And in a moment, there was that flow of love from this apostle's heart to these Gentile believers. The Holy Spirit had brought them into one body of faith. And that is why true love is a revelation. It comes by the power of God. Now, see, when the Holy Spirit comes from above, it comes to fill vessels who are earthbound, who live in compromised regions, compromised atmosphere, compromised with sin, with iniquity, with pervasion. Now, when this heavenly spirit fills our hearts, fills our lives, it gives us the power to overcome the wickedness, you know, that surrounds us, which has become the norm of society. You see, Philippians 2 verse 15 tells us something. Now, let us read that. I'm trying to be a good preacher today to manage my time well. Philippians 2 verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now you see that? That is our uniform. We live in the midst of a crooked. Now when you look at that word crooked, you look it up in the dictionary, it means something bent, something twisted. It is not straight. That's a kind of societies we find ourselves in, crooked, twisted, something which should be simple enough to know and understand that the order of nature requires for marriage to be between a man and a woman. Straightforward. Nature tells it to you. So many things which are supposed to be straightforward to the mind of a human being. But you know what? It's a generation of a people which has become not straight, but bent, twisted, you know. And it's also, the Bible also uses the word perverse. Again, look up that word perverse in the dictionary. Perverse, I was looking it up on the online dictionary, and it says showing a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable. Showing a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable. Now, saints, I don't need to explain how deliberate actions of worldly people are to behave in a way that is unreasonable. And they call it being open-minded, you know, being civilized. But, well, the word of God calls it crooked and perverse. And it has become so crooked and perverse to such an extent that When you speak something sober or what should be straight, you are the one who looks abnormal. That is how far things have gone. When you talk about a decent way of living, a sober way of how someone should dress, how someone should present themselves and carry themselves, well, it really looks abnormal. Human beings are losing all the simple basic ethics, you know, and that is civilization, as they call it. Now, when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, they don't act to fit in. You know, when someone does not have the Holy Spirit and they happen to travel to some place away from the spiritual family, away from the church they used to go to. Let's say someone is a student from Africa, and maybe there is a church he or she goes to, and because of association with those believers, that person dresses in a certain way, communicates in a certain way, and then, well, the person obtains a scholarship, or they begin to study elsewhere, overseas. So they go to some first world nation, and that young man or young lady finds themselves in an environment which has this strange wind or abundance of what they call freedom. And well, this young brother, sister suddenly feels, pastor, brothers and sisters I left back home, they are not here to observe what's going on. And then suddenly she's a sister, but well, she feels like she can wear these trousers, tight clothing, to fit in. So the young man also begins to behave or dress in a certain way that is unbecoming for a child of God. Why are they behaving like that? They're trying to fit in. But really, the main problem is, to begin with, they never really had the Holy Spirit. They were not baptized into one faith, into one baptism. Because when the Holy Spirit fills us, there'll be that burning desire and hunger to have this friendship with God. And this friendship is not characterized by a particular environment we're in to try to please people, to try to pay a lip service, or just to act in a certain way, to wear a uniform of that religious grouping. Now, a uniform without salvation is not just on a clothes level or what we wear. It is also on a character level, where we try to play or to act uniform because that is what our religious group demands. So you find that maybe the Word of God requires that if you are a child of God, you need to marry someone who is in the faith, or have company or friendship of people who are in the faith. And well, you feel that is a burden, you are being forced, to fit in. Now, that is not a true uniform. You are really wearing a uniform. You are in conformity, not because your heart is convicted, but you feel, well, what can I do? This is what my family demands. This is what the religious grouping demands. Now, no matter how that forces you or enables you to behave right, it is something on the outside. Inside your heart, it's not there. No matter how long that can go on, even if you live up to the time you die, and the preacher on the funeral says he used to be a good brother, very kind, well behaved, well, only God knows what was hidden in that heart and how it couldn't fit in this religious grouping. Outwardly, The person was uniform with all the practices going on. Inside their heart, they were detached. Dear brothers and sisters, there's no salvation in that. May it be within our lives that we may be a blameless and harmless people, sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, an environment which is dark, and this light should glow, not just shine, but glow from within to outwardly, something that has really become one with our hearts, and the manifestation of our character should proceed from our love for God. Now, let me read the last portion and then wind up. This is James chapter 1. James. Let's read 1 Peter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now you see what the scripture says. Even when we are in the midst of a perfect and crooked generation, we haven't been called to engage in arguments with these vain people, try to convince them this way or that way. Transformation and conversion can really happen when the Holy Spirit convicts a heart, not through vain arguments. But you see, you haven't been called to argue with every human being you come across who is perverse or crooked. But here we are told, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let your life shine forth as a light. And it ought to shine forth not to convert them. If they get converted, praise the Lord. But your shining of the light works in two ways. It will convert some people, and if you have an opportunity to witness to them. But number two, it should be a witness that these people, even when they didn't read the Bible, they saw a living Bible amongst them, and that would be a voice of judgment against them. All right, so let me read James now, James 1. James 1 verse 17 to 25. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So you see, the other scripture taught us to shine forth as lights. Why? Not a made up light, but because we were begotten by the Father of lights. He is a light himself. So by giving birth to us, we won't work out to see how our light should shine, but our spiritual nature will manifest that light. We won't act it out. Why? We were begotten by the Father of lights, and hence we become lights, because our light proceeds from him. Yes. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So, my dear brothers and sisters, no matter how crooked, perverse the environments we find ourselves in, We should not adapt. We should not conform. Our minds should still be sober. No matter how crooked or perverse our environments are, we should be sober, thinking right, doing things in an honest way. No matter how crooked everyone else is, wherever you are working, you don't say, oh, everyone does it, so I am forced to do it. No, that can never be an excuse for a child of God. We are called to be sober, for we have not received a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Shalom.